God,
Grant
grant me
the
the serenity
to
to accept the
accept the
things
things
I
I cannot
change,
change,
the
the
courage
courage
to
to
change
change
the
the
things
things
I
I
can,
can,
and
and
the
the
wisdom
wisdom
to
to
know
know
the
the
difference.
difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm not calling.
Hi, Josh.
Welcome. Glad you're here.
On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Is anyone visiting from out of town or new to the meeting?
It's
yes.
Oh,
welcome.
Oh,
good to have
nice.
You.
Glad you're here.
Nice. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This is from the foreword to the first edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. This evening, we are discussing steps 8 and 9, part 1. Please welcome our panel. We have Albert from AA 101 and Aubrey from Nemo Parkway Group. I will read the first paragraph on page 76, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Page 76. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Who wants to go first? Okay. Albert.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Albert. My sobriety date is October 13th, 2019. My home group is AA 101. We meet in Norfolk at the Sentara Norfolk Heart Hospital, Sundays at 11 a.m. I am my group's GSR, and I also have the privilege of being the corrections chair for the Tidewater Intergroup Council. Thank you, Simple Actions and Amy, for asking us to speak tonight. Definitely appreciate the opportunity to be of service. So with amends, you know, like it says in this paragraph here, most of, you know, the bulk of my amends list had already been created when I did step 4. While, you know, reviewing resentments and my fears, especially resentments and fears and sex conduct, you know, I was able to already compile a list of a lot of people and institutions that I had harmed along the way. You know, when I was going through my 4-step, it was more so like, you know, what I had seen from my side of things was wrong with those, you know, those people or situations, and ultimately the damage or wrong that I had done to them. But going into step eight, it was my turn, my opportunity to see it from the other side of things, right, and see where I had been wrong. So the work of step eight really had already been done when I went through step four. There were, some other people that got added along the way, some other people that I had thought about that, I truly didn't hold any resentment or have anything against them necessarily, but I had harmed them. So, they got added to the list along the way. Creating the list, though, like I will say, I did have to be reminded several times, and I think it's a little funny now, but I did have to be reminded that the purpose of it really was for me to clean up my side of the street. We say that that little saying a lot in the rooms. I was hesitant to put certain people on the list because all I could focus on and fixate on was what they had done to me or what I had perceived they had done to me. But with the help of a sponsor, I was able to kind of peel back those different situations and see really what part I had played in different situations that ultimately led to that outcome. And then I could really focus on what my part in that situation had been. When I was thinking about just making the amends list and getting ready for speaking tonight, it's like thinking like, why are making amends so important to my sobriety? And I've been taught that, the purpose of this whole program, right, is to clean out the wreckage of my past and get a solid foundation for me to build a relationship with a power greater than myself. And that higher power is my solution now in life in place of alcohol. But I can't get to that higher power if I still have lingering junk from the past. Like if I'm walking around angry or feeling guilty or shameful or embarrassed about the things that I've said in the past, I might not even necessarily be seeing these people on a day-to-day basis, but I still remember it up here. And that junk is what keeps me blocked from connecting to my higher power. So in step eight and step nine, I'm able to really sit down and take, do that analysis and be able to start having those conversations and chip away at what's blocking me from God. And little by little, I just get, freer. As far as having the will to make the amends, I think, the first time I went through the steps, I was hesitant on most of them. I think my sponsor would agree with that. Our sponsor would agree with that. Because I couldn't, going into the step, I couldn't see the result. I couldn't see how was this going to keep me sober? How was this going to help me with my recovery? And I had to be reminded that, in steps two and three, I had made a decision to continue on with the steps, with a little bit of faith and willingness that by going through these steps, I was going to be able to achieve sobriety and recovery with the help of a higher power. So, I prayed for the willingness a lot to get through to the next step, to have these conversations, even just to make the list when I did stumble. And it always came. Sometimes it came quickly. Sometimes it would take weeks of praying, but the willingness always did show up. So, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Albert. Hi, everybody. I'm Aubrey. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Albert.
The last time I found it necessary to take a drink was June 17th, 2019. As Amy said, my home group is Nemo Parkway. We meet Thursday nights. We'd love to have you. I have a sponsor. We share a sponsor. I have the privilege of sponsoring other women. I'm also currently the GSR for District 32, I'm our GSO, and I am the treasurer for District 32. I don't know, anything to be of service, even when I stumble on my own words. So I really like how in the reading, It always cracked me up because I feel like the book gets a little, it almost like knife hands me at times, you know, like I'm reading and reading and reading and all these pages until I even start and get into step one, right? And then all of a sudden, 6, 7, and 8 are within, you know, 2 pages. And when I break it down, it's because God and this big book knows that I'm going to find a way to get out of something, right? And normally when I see something in italics, it's like this, you know, really poignant declaration of something or something that, you know, really has to be reread and sticks with me. But in this case, you know, once it started talking about, well, you already made a list of people who you were mad at in step four, right? And so you've already made an inventory. I immediately was like, well, wait a minute. No, that was people who I was mad at. I didn't do anything wrong there, which, you know, my book immediately was like, but remember, it was agreed that you would go to any length for victory over alcohol, right? Like immediately had to hit me with that because, as I started reading in the step 8 and 9, I was immediately trying to go back to old ways of, well, you know, there's a reason that I can't, you know, tell someone I did something or wrong. There's, you know, you don't understand how hard I've had it. And so my ego wants to get in the way always, always, always. And even when it's telling me, you've got to sweep away the debris and stop trying to live on self-will and run the show myself. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Are you sure? Like, remember you said that you'd go to any length. And so again, that's why I feel like it's so important that, you know, 6 and 7 are all kind of contained on the same page as well, even though we're talking about 8 and 9, because I can immediately go back to that top of that same page and say, you know, I'm willing that my higher power should have all of me, good and bad. And so from there, it gave me that like kind of motivation that I needed to really take a look and a full appraisal, right? And absolutely clear the wreckage of my side of the street. And it wasn't easy, right? But I knew at that point that if I did not continue the steps, I absolutely would drink again. And for me to drink is to die, right? There was no misgivings about what was going to happen if I kept drinking. And there's no misgivings about what will happen if I don't continue to let God do for me what I cannot do for myself. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important that I immediately kind of take a full inventory, just the same way as every step kind of talks about being open and honest and, you know, showing that full willingness. You know, I have to clear out everything, even those little nooks and crannies that I thought I'd take to the grave with me, right? And it sounded terrifying having to look at someone else that, quite frankly, I had just kind of let go of my perceived wrongdoings that they had done to me, and go and take inventory and admit to my own bad things that I had done. I'm trying really hard not to curse because I assume that whenever they're doing the live transcript, the F-bombs will show up real weird.
Oh my God.
So I should just drop it. It's so much easier if I just start cursing, just start throwing them out. Yeah, I didn't want to have to look at, like, I just got over being mad at you and now I have to, you know, again, most of the time, the stuff that I was mad about, right, that my resentments were made up in my head, right? If I really looked at them, nobody had done anything to me. I was being a bitch most of the time, right? But then to really have to sit with that and be like, oh, I was just being a bitch the whole time. Again, I was immediately like, can't we just go back a few pages? But my big book was like, nope, remember, you said that. And thank God it did, because had those paragraphs not been written so eloquently where, you know, it just kind of boom, 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 one after the other, you know, I definitely would have continued to have some misgivings about the entire thing. And I would have tried to run the show. And anybody who knew me when I was drinking knew that when I'm running the show, it's real sloppy. So that's all I got.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to continue on page 76. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries.
All right, thank you. Sorry, as Aubrey was sharing, made me think of a couple of things that I wanted to mention. So I was writing it down. You know, with hesitation making the list, I started thinking about that a little bit more, and even the willingness to have some of these conversations and accept my part in it. It does go back to 6 and 7 and character defects. You know, the reason why, you know, these people, places, things, whatever, showed up on my amends list is because I had caused harm in some way, right? Well, why had I caused harm to this person? Well, it's because I was trying to get my needs met in some way, in the wrong spot, right? I was trying to control this situation in a way that, you know, produced the outcome that I wanted. So I overran this person at my job, or, you know, I, you know, lied and misrepresented myself because I wanted to, you know, have intimate relations with someone, you know, whatever the case may be. I was trying to get my needs met, and whatever that took, I would lie, cheat, steal, manipulate the situations. And in doing those things, right, those character defects coming out, you know, just, without any kind of barriers, I was, wrecking relationships with people. I was, you know, creating jealousy at work. I was, you know, cheating on my fiance at the time, whatever the case may be. So, you know, when I looked at it like that, that did help me to kind of understand where I had caused these harms, because, you know, I was just trying to get my needs met, but I was looking in the wrong spot instead of looking in, you know, as I've learned, you know, turning towards my higher power and God for those things. I was trying to use the outside physical world to get my needs met. And when I do that, I cause a lot of chaos and destruction along the way. And then I have to make amends for those things. Also with step 8, I was thinking about this, you know, again, as I was saying, you know, I always wanted to know, you know, well, how is this going to benefit me, right? Selfish and self-centered alcoholic. How is this going to benefit me? What's the purpose of this in my recovery? And I was so wrapped up in having conversations with these people that I didn't want to put somebody's name down, because to me, the act of putting someone's name down meant that there was evidence that I had admitted that I had wronged them. And now I've put it out into the universe and that conversation has to happen. So I was way focused on this over here. And, you know, my sponsor, I think like a lot of people's sponsor, had to remind me of where I was at. You know, she used to say, like, where are your feet at today? And at that moment, I'm in step 8. All I'm doing is making a list. I'm not having these conversations. We're not thinking about that and getting wrapped up and have, you know, letting fear of the unknown get me out of where I'm at. So right now, all I'm doing is just making a list. And that was enough to get me back here and focused, and along with, you know, a lot of prayer, just getting the names down on a piece of paper so that I was prepared to have the conversations. preparing for the conversations and actually doing the amends, that was another beast in itself. So that was something that was very helpful to me. Going back to this section, for me, I will say I've never had an issue with leading with the spiritual motive of making an amends. I was trying to think back to, you know, amends conversations that I've had and whether or not, you know, I really even mentioned the spiritual aspect of this program when doing that. And honestly, I don't think I ever really did. In some of the conversations with different people, knowing, you know, them being more open to spirituality, it has come about. But what this section really means to me is that I have to go into these conversations remembering that, you know, this is an act of humility. I'm there to accept what I've done wrong. Well, I've already accepted that I've done wrong, and now I'm admitting it to this person, and I'm going there to listen and to hear the feedback, that whatever they have to say, I'm there to listen to and ask, is there anything that I can do to make this right? And be willing to accept whatever they say back in that situation. So if I'm going into those conversations with any sort of, you know, feeling of superiority, you know, I'm sober now, like I'm making this, you know, amends, and you have to sit here and listen to it and whatever, or, you know, whatever the consequences is. But if I'm going into it with that kind of attitude, I'm not in the right headspace. I'm not in the right spiritual spot to be having that conversation, because that's not the point of it, right? That's I'm there to just admit what I've done and be willing to listen to the other person. And if I'm thinking about, you know, how I'm one-upping this person because I'm in a better spot spiritually. Now, there are a couple of people in my amends list that I could think of that. If I'm going into that, I'm immediately blocking myself from God and God being a part of that situation. And then what's the point? And I'll pass.
Salbert. I really like how you said that. There were definitely some folks on my list that I put them on my amends list because I wanted to be able to say, like, look at me, right? I'm better than you. And all that's all related to the fear that I have, right? That I'm not good enough. And so, you know, I had to look up the word diffident because it says, as we look over our list of people we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Mm-hmm. And so diffident means lacking confidence in one's own ability, worth, or fitness. And that's me to a T, right? Is I always feel like an imposter, even when I started to believe in a higher power. You know, I did one of those, like, I'll fake it till I make it kind of things. And I don't know at what point it happened, but I developed a relationship with God, and it was mind blowing to know that in my core, I believed in a higher power. And, but then I was nervous to share that with people because I thought they won't believe me, right? Because I've been a liar, a cheat, and a thief for so long, right? And so I'm an imposter. And even in this, right, if I go about and want to just show you how I'm better than you now because I'm sober and look at me, you know, deep down I'm worried, like, will this last, you know? And that's where it says, let us be rest assured. And most of the time, just like Albert said, I didn't need to go in and be like, I got religion, right? I didn't need to right? The same thing we hear in Bill's story, right? When Ebby walks through the door, like, I got religion. And Bill Mead was like, here we go, you know, like, and that's, you know, I didn't need to do any of that. I didn't need to jump in. If it came up organically, then great. But I didn't need to lead with, well, I'm sober and you're not, and all that. I didn't need to explain why I was doing this, right? It didn't have to have anything to do with, the fact that I was going through the program. I had to do this because I had wronged a lot of people and continued to wrong them. And even when they talked to me about it and I swore I wasn't going to do it again, right? Or I'm not going to drink again, or I'm not going to do shots anymore, right? All that shit didn't happen. So I had to do some of this. Was I'm making amends because that's what human decency looks like, right? And I was stuck in the bottle for so long that I didn't have any human decency left. I was living on my own lies and a whole lot of wine and hoping for the best. And so I didn't need to bring God into it necessarily. I needed to pray to God at all times for the willingness, because there were times that I, again, wanted to shut this book and go away and pretend like I didn't do anything wrong, but I had to pray for willingness. But when it came to leaving myself open to someone else, that I just needed the willingness from God. And I had to admit my wrongdoings and find ways that I could make it right. I also thought that amends was just going from person to person and being like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, right? And part of me felt that, again, going back to that diffident, right, is I felt like an imposter because I had said I'm sorry a million times, a million times. Every Sunday morning, I think I said, you know, I'm sorry for years. And so it felt like it would be disingenuous if I was doing it again. But that's not what the amends are. The amends are me admitting the wrongs that I had done and then asking, you know, if there was anything else that I had left out and how could I make it right? And some folks were amenable to that and some folks were not. But I did have to look at my motivation, right? Another thing our sponsor says, in addition to be where your feet are, is, you know, what is your motivation for doing this? You know, when I put a couple of these old friends that I haven't talked to in 20 years, and I know one of them's in jail, right? I'm putting her on my amends list because I want to feel like I'm somebody because I'm not in jail. And had I stayed there in Indiana, I would have been in jail with her, right? But there was no winning there for anyone, right? And so I had to look at what my motivation was. And is this, it always has to be less me and more God. That's always the answer. If I'm trying to, you know, sneak in my own motivation, then I'm not actually cleaning my side of the street. I'm just making it worse. So I row and God steers and everything else will happen organically as long as I am honest and willing to continue to do the right thing. That's all I got.
Thank That's you. Good. We're switching over to page 77. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret.
Thank you. So when, after I had made my amends list, the initial time, my sponsor had me categorize the folks I had written down into those that, you know, I could have made an immediate amends to, like if I saw them right there in that moment, that I'd be willing and able to, you know, have that conversation. A second group of people who were like, yeah, you know, I'd be willing, but it might take just, you know, a little bit of time to kind of warm up to the idea. And then my like nevers, like never ever am I going to have that conversation. And I appreciated that, right? Because that was kind of a little bit of a bridge, even just that exercise, a little bit of a bridge between making the list and that fear of having these conversations to like, okay, well, let's see. Some of these, maybe, you know, I feel comfortable enough having them right now. Okay, that's not as bad. Maybe a couple in a little while, and then the nevers. And I thought that by having that third category, that there was some kind of secret like door that I didn't read in the fine print somewhere, that that group of nevers would actually stay in the never category. But no, they, you know, migrate their way up the list there. And interestingly enough, I actually, the first time I made my amends list, I only had one person on my never, and that was my ex-fiance. And We had been very, very toxic to one another. I mean, in an extremely abusive relationship. I don't know. Definitely a hard drinker. I don't know if he considers himself to be more than that, whatnot. But I mean, we were just with bad for each other. And the more we drank, the more chaos and destruction we would bring upon each other. Financially, physically, emotionally. I mean, it was just a storm. Anytime we were, makes me think of the movie The War of the Roses. I don't know if anybody had seen that, but that was literally like our house. And he was the Nevers, because all I could see was all the stuff that he had done wrong to me. And at that time it was, I knew I had been wrong too, but the scales were way off, right? I mean, like, what he had done way far outweighed what I had done. And I had gotten to the point where, again, bridging into having the courage and the willingness, and God's guidance, and to having my amends, my sponsor had also had me write out some the conversations I was going to have on index cards, and we went through those together. And she kind of gave me some guidance and made sure that some of the critical parts of those conversations were there, which is like, do you have anything to add? It's not just about me and getting everything off my chest. Like, do you have anything to add? Is there anything I can do to fix the situation, or anything I can do to make it better? So I had done that piece too. So really at that time, I was just praying and asking God for the right time to have these conversations. And lo and behold, there I sat with my fiance, ex-fiance, on the balcony of my condo. And because I had mistakenly made what I thought to be a living amends to him by letting him stay at our place. It was weird. A decision in early sobriety that maybe should have like gone through a sponsor before the decision was made. I didn't really understand the amends process at the time I made that decision. But anyway, so we're sitting there, and the conversation happened. It was actually the first amends conversation that I had. It was, I felt the urge right there. God gave me the nudge, and I just, it came out right there in the moment. And I was ready to hear what he had to say back. And it wasn't pretty. It was almost as if he had been waiting for that opportunity, to point out those things again. But it happened, and it was beautiful. It was still a little scary. I think after it happened, I was a little surprised that it happened when it did. But that is just one example too of the outcomes, the results of doing this work is, God doing for me what I cannot do for myself, and being able to see the growth in myself. Just almost, within such a short period of time, going from never to the opportunity being there, and the words coming out of my mouth before I could even realize what was happening. As far as the amends conversations that I need to have now, something, that the priority of that list flips, or has flipped for me, if you will. Back then, the Nevers were the ones that I wanted to hold off and wait, and I was scared of. But that's because they were big deals. They were sort of the ones that had a lot of drama, or a lot of, potential consequences or whatever. Now, those are the ones that are the most important for me to take care of the quickest, because I understand and I see how whatever junk is wrapped up into the situation that is you know, showing me that an amends needs to be made, that's blocking me from God. I can't focus on how to be useful to the people around me or what I'm bringing to the table or whatever like that. If I'm so stuck in my head about, you know, guilt or shame or embarrassment because I cheated at work or, you know, I embarrassed someone or whatever the case may be, you know, those big ticket ones, those are the ones that block me the most. You know, and think of it like a cloud blocking the sunlight. You know, those big clouds take up most of the sunlight. Those are the ones now that I realize that I got to get, you know, to the nitty gritty. And then usually doing like an 11th step at night, you know, I discover some of the smaller amends that I need to make as well. But the ones that are really gnawing at me, those are the most important, because while I'm walking around with that in my head, I'm not thinking about what I can do to be useful to others and staying connected to God. So,
I loved your analogy. Because I disagreed with this part of the book. It's harder to go to an enemy than to a friend. Because I'm so petty, I was like, I'll go to all my enemies first because I don't really care what they have to say, which is a terrible response, right? That's when my sponsor rearranged my list for me, because she was like, maybe you're not ready to make amends to the person that you're just like ready to still bust their windows open. But it was so true. I was really, what was, again, it was fear that was putting things in the never or I'm not ready category, because I was afraid of what the outcome was going to be, right? I was afraid of admitting things that I wasn't sure that people really knew that I had done to them, right? Or they had sensed that it had happened, but I had lied my way through it. But it's so true that it were those big amends that I was terrified of that got rid of those huge clouds, right? And the more that I sought those out and stopped letting fear dictate my actions and let God dictate my actions, the more connected with God I was, right? I heard someone once say, like, every step towards the light gets a little bit brighter. And it's so true. You know, I just had to take those steps. And I was going to take baby steps because I'm petty. But that was not, again, that means I wasn't ready to make amends to those people because I was not trying to clean up my side of the street. You know, and I also laugh because I too, in early sobriety, made decisions that I wasn't going to tell my sponsor about because I'm like, I got this. Right. And then I would tell her, well, I thought that maybe this would work. And she's like, and how did that work out for you?
It didn't.
It didn't. It never did. Right. So, you know, those are the things that I have to ask guidance for, right? And I have to talk out with a sponsor because I am going to get in my way, right? I am absolutely going to get in the way and find a way to make things easier on myself, but nobody wins there, right? Once again, I cannot justify my actions of the past if I want to live a life with spiritual guidance and a life that, you know, has meaning on a day-to-day basis, right? I don't have to shy away from God, nor do I have to overly announce my convictions for him, right? But I can absolutely be a child of God every single day. Some days are easier than others, but I also think it's those smaller amends that I'm able to make now because I cleared out all the wreckage earlier on. And I did. I found myself running towards making those amends. And they did. They happened organically before I even knew they were coming out of my mouth. And it shocked me sometimes. Like, you know, I'm standing in a parking lot with someone, or my mom and I are getting ready to go to lunch, you know, and everyone, we're in a room cleaning something up and everyone else is screaming and yelling because we got to get everybody out the door, and an amend starts coming out, right? Like, but it, everything was fine, right? It was exactly where we needed to be, and it was exactly when it needed to happen. And that will always happen when to me, that's the definition of let go and let God, right? Is it's just happening before I'm even aware, before I can get in the way. And every time I do it, the world becomes just that much brighter. And man, it's so much more freeing than when I'm living in fear every day. Oh yeah.
True story, Prince.
All right, we're continuing on page 77. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We're there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemy sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam.
So it, in my experience, you know, I've had a variety of responses from people when doing my amends. For the most part, most people have been very, very welcoming of me having the conversation. They've been very receptive and gracious about it. And every time that that has happened, it gives me a little bit more like faith and hope to keep going and to keep having these conversations, because I am continuously surprised by, you know, the grace and love that other people have shown me along the way, and that I haven't felt like I have deserved, you know, especially going into these conversations, knowing what I've done and knowing the reason why I'm having these conversations. I, especially a lot of the folks from when I was really heavily drinking, college, and then, you know, some years after college, those people who saw me at my absolute worst, train wreck, a lot of them just said, "I am so glad that you're not drinking anymore." And when I asked, like, what can I do to make, you know, make this right? What can I do to make it better? They didn't really have anything to say besides keep doing what you're doing. They just wanted to see me be successful and happy and be sober. And that's all they asked of me in those conversations. I have to say, you know, for a lot of those situations, if I was on the other side, I feel like I would have had a few choice words to say to the person, to me, and maybe some more specific demands. But yeah, I mean, a lot of those conversations have gone like that. Some have surprised me as well. Some people, you know, one of the things that I have to be prepared on when I have these amends conversations, especially if it's from back when I was drinking, is that, you know, the steel trap that I think is my mind is not necessarily, you know, so secure. And man, I don't remember everything that I did, gratefully. And some people love the opportunity to let me know and bring those things to light. So there were a couple that, you know, the things that were brought up by the other person were a little surprising. But again, I have to be there and be willing to listen and accept whatever it is that I hear in that moment, and be prepared to feel the hurt and disappointment that these other folks have felt. It feels good to make an amends. And it feels real crappy to see, you know, and to hear how much I've hurt other people, family members, close friends, whatever. But that does something to me, you know. It's something that I can recall now as I interact with the world, right? As I go out into the world outside of our little sandbox and I have to play nice with the others, like, you know, I can see and feel the impact that I've made before. Those negative ones, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, trust me, I still have plenty of opportunities to make amends. And, you know, I am still a human being and I falter. But I learn from these things, and I think that's, you know, God's way of communicating with me through people's responses as well. And I take that with me, and I continue to grow from it. Some of my amends I haven't been able to make. Now it's funny. I used to, you know, call some people up and be thinking as the phone's ringing, please don't answer, please don't answer, please don't answer, you know, because I didn't want to actually have the conversation, or messaging them, you know, because all I can do is connect with them through like social media or whatever, like, hey, long time, you know, can you share your number, whatever, and just and having so much fear. And I haven't been able to connect with some of the people that I need to make amends to. But today, instead of that fear being there, there's a desire and a willingness to have those conversations, because I have felt the freedom of having amends conversations and cleaning up the wreckage. I have felt the result that on the other side of how is this going to help me, you know? And I want that. I want to have those opportunities. So those ones that are kind of lingering out there, it'd be great to have those, but we'll see if the opportunity presents itself. I feel like I had something else. And just ongoing amends too. You know, I have to be, this is the first steps 8 and 9, right? Or when I take a first deep dive into who I need to make amends to, things I need to make amends to, institutions, and I have these conversations. But going through this program, the first time I went through the steps, for some reason I took away that I was meant to be perfect. And it seems silly now, but you know, there may be other people out there who have somehow picked up on that same idea, especially going through steps 6 and 7 and talking about character defects. The first time I went through the steps, I walked away thinking I need to be like white as snow moving forward, right? And anytime I made any sort of misstep or mistake or harmed somebody or something, it was hard on me. Like I really took it hard. Like I have failed in some way. Maybe I wasn't, you know, as sober or had done as good of a job as I thought, whatever the case may be. I assure you that is not the point of these steps. It is to form a relationship with the higher power. And as I continue to make mistakes and missteps, because I am a human being and I'm not God and I would never be, you know, the steps are a way to clean that up and to continue to grow and enlarge my my relationship with infinite love and power. And as I continue doing that, you know, things seem to be better and I don't have to make as many amends or cause as much destruction, but it will always be there because I'm a human being. This process is not meant to make me white as snow. So thanks.
I think one of the things for me was, you know, when I first started step 8 and making the list, or I guess adding to the list from step 4, you know, I had to pray a lot for that willingness because I didn't want to, but as I made amends, that willingness grew. Right. And that was really fascinating. You know, that was a big turning point, you know, a step that I was so afraid of well before I even got there, was actually a huge turning point and really expanded my relationship with God and, made me more and more willing to continue on with this program. Right. Being able to see people's reactions. And spoiler alert, I thought I was really good at hiding how drunk I was. It was not a shock for most people that I was, that I had a drinking problem. It was surprising to me, right? But they were not surprised.
The last ones.
Yeah, we were the last ones to know. I thought I was real good at partying and I was not. So that being said, you know, I think having that willingness grow was a real surprise and it was a real treat. And being able, because I do have to make a living amends, right? Like it would be impossible for me to list out everything I had done wrong to my husband, right? Who stood by me. And I'll share a story. You know, one time I was blackout drunk, right? And in my infinite wisdom, I thought the best way to prevent a hangover is to ensure that I'm hydrated. The best way to be hydrated is to get into the bathtub fully clothed at 3 o'clock in the morning and fill it with water, right? So I wake up at some point and my husband is laying on the floor, like in our bathroom, and I am clothed, also in the bathtub surrounded by water, right? And so it's moments like that, right? Like he had to stay in the bathroom to ensure that I didn't drown in the middle of the night, right? That's just the one that he told me about that I still remember, right? There are so many things, right? And I'm not even just talking about with the drinking, right? It was the lying and the deceitfulness and, digging into things that I had no business pretending I was right at. It would be impossible to make an amends on every single thing. I have tried, right? But all I can do is continue to demonstrate to him that I am serious about being better than I was, right? And that I am serious about my relationship with God. I can never possibly make everything right, because just like Albert said, right, it's progress, not perfection. I am still human, but I can every day wake up and pray for guidance from God, and I can go to sleep thanking God, and I can try my damnedest to do the next right thing that God wants me to do. And I am so grateful that I have a husband who has, stayed with me and stopped drinking the moment I said, I might have a problem. And he was like, you think? But it's that willingness that I had to pray for every day. And I was a little hesitant about in the beginning, but as that willingness grew and my relationship with God grew, so did the love and so did the freedom. I've said it a million times, being sober and getting through the 12 steps feels like the first time I could take a full breath and fill every inch of my lungs with air. And there's nothing in the world that I'm more grateful about than all of you and this program and these steps, because they absolutely work as long as I'm working them. And that's all I got.
I'm going to put the last two readings together, and each of y'all have like 2 minutes to close it out. They are from pages 78 and 79. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything.
Is that that's oh sorry. Thank you. So as far as the money situation goes, I did need to make financial amends. Was in a lot of debt when I came into AA. It was really awful with money. I'll use this as an example of, after I had made financial amends, part of the amends process for me is, taking a look at the behaviors that I exhibited and trying to do the opposite, right? Or not repeating those behaviors, not recreating those same situations. I can't just use it. I like to think of it like this. I can't use making an amends as a management tool, right? Mm-hmm. For my sobriety. I can't just act however I want to and be like, oh, that's okay, I'm making amends for it later, like completely missing the boat, right? The things that if I'm being genuine and honest about, what I have done wrong and asking God to help out in those areas, then as I move forward in life, I'm looking for ways to improve or to do better or to not recreate the mess that I had previously made. So financially, I paid my bills on time. I try to pay my bills in full. When I get paid, like, they're the first things I buy, You know, I pay my bills. I don't go shopping first and then pay my bills, you know? So that's just an example of, you know, living what I am actually saying in these amends, right? And actually incorporating that into my life. As far as that last reading there, you know, sometimes making amends means that I have to face the consequences of my actions. The biggest one for me today is at work. You know, I for some reason, well, many 10 steps I can share, but you know, there's certain defects that get triggered at my job, and that's the hardest place for me to make amends because it means I have to be open and vulnerable and honest about who I truly am with my coworkers. And for some reason, that's a scary spot for me. But I would tell you this, the consequences that I have faced, whether it is, you know, taking a step down at work in the past, which I've had to do, actually, you know, openly admitting that I was wrong to my coworkers and to my superior in front of them, whatever the case may be, whatever is, you know, the hardest thing for me. The freedom of knowing that I'm not carrying around that baggage anymore has always outweighed the consequences of what I've had to do to make it right. That freedom, that peace of mind, has never cost more than what, you know, the consequences itself has been. So I just show up and do the work, and God takes care of the rest.
You've got like 1 minute.
1 minute. Yeah, money is like everything else, right? I fucked a lot of it away at first when I stopped drinking. I didn't realize how much I had been spending because then all of a sudden I'm like, there's too much money in my bank account that normally would have been spent on anything else, right? But it was the same thing as I was irresponsible in many ways, and that goes for money. So I had to make right the wrongs that I had made, and do the next right thing, right? I may lose face, I may not, right? But anything it is, if I am trying to control the situation, I'm doing it wrong. Because the one thing I've learned from this program is there is a God and I am not it. Minute done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To pass the baskets in accordance with the seventh tradition, which states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Dale, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dale.
Roosevelt Gardens. It's half a bitch in potluck, whatever you call it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available on the table over there. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you would like to purchase a big book. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. If you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held just up Colonial Avenue at Cafe Stella. In closing, can we please thank the panel again for sharing? Thanks to all who participated after the Lord's Prayer. Everyone will have a chance to say thank you to Albert and Aubrey. I don't know if somebody, oh, okay. David has volunteered to read the last few paragraphs on page 164.
Everybody, I'm an alcoholic. My name is David.
Hey, David.
Hi, David.
And for home group members, our brother Dale from Roosevelt Gardens, who made that announcement, we just want you guys to know he's the one who fixed our audio.
Oh, thank you.
Feel free to, you know, thank him.
Thank money you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. And God bless you and keep you until then.
We have a nice way of closing. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen.